Who knows who Rahab is? You're all wrong. Because in Job chapter 9, in Job chapter 26, in Psalm 87, Psalm 89, Isaiah 30, and Isaiah 31, Rahab is mentioned, and he is a multi-headed sea creature that is chaotic and full of demonic evil. But that's not who we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the other Rahab, and she was a woman. Joshua chapter 2. Let's read Joshua chapter 2 real quick. Does anyone know the basic story of what happened with Rahab and why she's important? Okay, some of you do. In the book of Matthew, Rahab is this lady who's found in Jesus' lineage. She's like mother of Boaz, who was the husband of Ruth, and somewhere somebody's mom was King David, and Rahab gets mentioned in that. And every time I hear a sermon about that, it's like the pastor stands up there and he is like, "See, ladies, even a prostitute can be used by God." And I think like, all right, why is it that all the sermons about men are like, any guy, like any ordinary Joe can slay a giant? You might be the smallest in your family, but then when we start talking about women, it's like, "See, ladies, even the worst of the worst can be used by God." And so I want to address that tonight, but first I want to read out of Joshua chapter 2. So can you guys follow me real quick? "Then Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent two spies. 'Go look over the land,' he said, 'especially Jericho.'" We good so far? "So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, 'Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.' So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, 'Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went.'" She lied. Nobody told her that was a sin, or this whole thing might not have worked out. That was a joke. "You may catch up with them. So the men set out and they in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut." I'm going to speed this story up for you. When Rahab talked to the people from Israel, she said something to the effect of, "I have seen and I have heard what your God, the God of heavens, is doing on behalf of you. I've heard about the Red Sea. I've heard about some other stuff. And I don't think I want to go against that God. So I'm going to cheat and I'm going to help you instead." And they reply, "Sweet, we won't kill you then." And the story plays out, and she gets preserved, and she follows on the sides of the good guys, and she ends up in the lineage of Jesus. So there's two stories and two ways that this could take. The first one is this: Rahab is a broken and beaten prostitute who God saves because she chooses the right side. That's my kind of making fun of that approach way to say it. Rahab's a broken prostitute who chooses the right side, and so God saves her. And we've all heard that message 100 times before. Now, if you were here last week, or if you listened to the recording to make my ego feel good and tell me how great I am, you will remember that Jericho was not a city like you and I think of cities. It was a military city. It was full of soldiers. It was not full of women and children. There is no archaeological evidence that any of the cities that Israel took over were actual cities like we think of them. And there is no archaeological evidence that women and children were in any of them. And the king of Jericho would have been the military general. So the story goes like this. The military general goes to Rahab and says, "Where are these spies?" And she says, "I don't know." But he doesn't know. She's talked to them, and she's secretly switched sides, and they're going to save her life. And that's how the story goes. One other tiny little note. Your translation of your Bible probably says prostitute, which something very close to the word prostitute is also what that word means, and that word is innkeeper. Just kidding. It's not even close to the word prostitute at all. It's a completely different word, and it means innkeeper. So there was a prostitute who had the power to hide a bunch of spies in her little tiny room, or possibly there was an innkeeper who was taking care of visitors and some of the military of the hundreds of soldiers who lived in Jericho, and she was well known and possibly even respected at some level. And she existed as an innkeeper, and then she cheated. Well, that changes the story a little bit, if that's true, which it might not be, and I might be wrong, because now we don't have this broken prostitute woman who needs saving, who's being abused and beaten by the people around her constantly, and so she just needs a way out, and here come these other hero men to save her, who God is on their side. No, maybe this time we find an innkeeper in the military city of Jericho who is responsible for taking care of certain people and who hears about what God is doing through these vagabond, homeless people wandering around the desert who everyone is closing their door on, but has heard about how a sea parted and how they escaped from slavery, and it seems that every time they come into conflict against chariots and horses with a wiffle bat, God has the tendency to move on their side, because God is a God of the underdog. And so she says, I'm gonna side with those guys. Maybe that will save my life. Joshua 6:17, the people, the Israelites, say the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. So we're going to devote everything in this military base to the Lord. We're going to sacrifice everything. We're going to kill these people who have tried to kill us. We are going to kill them. But only Rahab, the innkeeper, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared. Prostitutes don't normally have families or houses, and so all that's in this prostitute's house and all in her family are going to be spared, or maybe innkeeper, because she hid the spies who were sent. Now, when we get to Matthew 1, the actual verse says this: Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. King David had his own problems, but he's famous. When we get to Hebrews, the author of Hebrews wrote, "By the faith of Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." And James says, "In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to spies and sent them off in a different direction?" Now, this is a simple premise that I just want to share with you before we meditate and think on it. I don't like to share things just because they tickle our minds. There's a posture we want to take at chapel. And I don't even like to preach all the time, even though I've been preaching all the time. I've been praying that somebody else who loves to preach would come and do this thing more. But while I have the microphone, everything that I'm talking about is an attempt to help us take a shape. Not to be like, "I know that Jericho was a military city and it was tiny, and that children weren't there, and that's the same with every..." It's to help us understand that God is a God of love. And every time that I've heard about women preached about in the Bible, they're either about to be stoned, they're prostitutes, they're desolate. Like, it's like, what is going on? And how have we taken this out of the Bible? And how have we made it what it is? It's like we see one word and we just run with it. And a simple change in our thinking can cause us to expand not only maybe an understanding of what might really be happening, even if I'm wrong, what might really be happening in this story, to understand, oh, maybe God is more like this. And it starts to make sense throughout the whole theme of Scripture. So option number two is Rahab is an innkeeper in a powerful military base that has been oppressing people for generations. She notices what God does on behalf of the underdog and chooses to change the trajectory of her life. Then she sees God do some crazy stuff on behalf of the poor. So, ladies who are here, you don't have to be the most broken individual in the world to be used by God. You can be a normal person, a normal woman who has a normal job and a normal life in a powerful situation in whatever role that you're in. I think that kid is okay. He did not break his face. You can just be in your life, living your life, and God can enter into your life and say, I want to change the direction that you're headed. Because you're in a powerful empire too. Just like the men who are fighting and destroying and killing people, you are part of that empire. And I want to show you that God is a God of the underdog. And I want to show you that you can be part of this journey with a God who is a God of the underdog. And if you want to choose that trajectory and partner with the underdog, then you're going to get to be part of some really cool stuff. For Rahab, it was Jesus' genealogy. It was the saving of her family, her household. It was putting her on a trajectory where she witnessed God doing something. She was a witness. And then she said, I want to be part of that. And that is the call to all of us, men and women and children. The only catch in this story that I learned from my Master of Divinity degree, which they didn't teach me, they just showed me how to find it, which is now their problem. The difference between our culture and that culture is we are not the underdog. We are the city of Jericho. And we have a choice to either be like that city or be like Rahab. And Rahab said, I see the poor and I see the needy. And I'm noticing that God seems to act on their behalf quite a bit. And I want to be part of that. And she left. And she entered the genealogy of Jesus. Why I say that we're dealing with not just tickling our brains, but our posture at Edison Chapel is because this is what we are trying to do. I do not think you will ever hear anyone who participates in this community of people who do a bunch of initiatives for a neighborhood saying, this is who we are all the time. We have made it here. No, we are in a constant repentance. That at any given moment, we are benefiting in ways that the people around us in this neighborhood are not benefiting. And we are trying to step away from that power that has been oppressing the people around us and say, you know what? We would rather be part of what God is doing. That feels more like what God is doing with people in the Bible. And it feels a little bit more like Jesus to me. And it feels a lot more like the gospel. So maybe the message of Joshua 2 and the story of Rahab is not. You can be the most broken prostitute in the history of the world, and God can still use you, and somehow you can still get your name written in another chapter and talked about once a year on Women's Sunday. Maybe the story is you, as a powerful man or woman in the Bible, when you realize that you're participating in something that's harming others, but you've seen God act on behalf of the underdog, that you, like Rahab, can lead your family and yourself out to be in relationship with the underdog, and then just simply watch God move. I'm getting to see that all the time, like with every initiative we're doing right now. It's crazy. God is moving on behalf of people. And the more crazy we get at chapel with stepping into the lives of people who've been really hurt, even by church, we're going to see God move. And that's pretty cool to get to say, oh, yeah, I'm sharing in the Rahab story. I'm not someone who preaches the Rahab story at someone else because it's the wrong version. I'm someone who shares in the Rahab story because I, too, have repented. Also, in Job and Psalms and Isaiah, they are literally referencing a multi-headed sea monster that's chaotic and has demons inside of it. And I don't think that's literal. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about a pillar of our faith in Rahab, who was in one of the most powerful military cities in the world, and somehow found the bandwidth to say, I want to be part of the underdog because I see God moving on behalf of the underdog, and moved her whole genealogical line away from something that is remembered as evil to something that is remembered as good. Thank you for leaders like Rahab. Thank you for powerful people like Rahab who know how to make tough decisions when everyone else is going the other way. And I pray that we can be like that too here. In Jesus' name, amen.